White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Yes, here we is at White Aryan Resistance Radio Network, right here in our bunker beneath the very rich soil of north central Indiana. Yeah, and it's March the 26th, 2015, Thor's Day. Yeah, are you ready to go? You know, I didn't mention it, I don't think, yesterday, but the minute that plane went down over there, that it went into a nosedive, I said to my lady, I said, "This smells. This really smells." And of course, now it's come out. The question so far this morning here on Russia TV and all these outfits, I don't see anybody rushing over to the pilot's house and see who he is, what's his background, and maybe what's he been into. That's going to be quite interesting, because usually a person who's hell-bent for suicide does not take that many people down with him, but this whole thing smells, man. Come on, it smells. Damn it. And maybe they're going to try to cover up what this fella really had on his mind. Talk about a lone wolf. Woo-wee. Oh, I got happy news. I hope you've seen it. The Saudis got sucked into this thing with ISIS. And I hope ISIS makes a full frontage attack on Saudi Arabia. This could be great. It's about time we bloody the nose of Saudi Arabia. If it takes ISIS to do it, good for you. Good on, boys. Kick their ass as best you can. Drag those old farts out in the street and take care of them, ISIS. Take care of those Saudis. I'm going to run you something now from the Rogue Progressive. And we're calling ourselves, and we've been doing that for quite a long time, we just haven't mentioned it too much, that we're progressive racists. And we will take information wherever we can find it, and if it's legitimate, we feel it's worth a gamble, we're going to run with it. And I thought this was a real good one. It's about 23 minutes, so hang on to your seat. And let's listen to the left progressives clean Israel's clock. Now, you're not going to hear this stuff on these right-wing conservatives. They're going to protect Israel at all costs. Even your, who's that fat fart up there? You know who I mean. That right-winger that yaps so much and got a crisis every morning. Incidentally, I wanted to start covering that Civil War again for some of our subscribers that said, "Why don't you cover some more on the Civil War?" And I can't find the one book that's the best book. It's why it's ridiculous for there ever to have been a Civil War. But I'm telling you, two things. One thing, never loan a book. No matter who it is, don't ever loan a book. And number two, get somebody to straighten out your library. That's my problem here now. I got hundreds of these very important books, and they're all screwed up. I'm going to have to get my webmaster out here this summer. Maybe I can get her to do it. Because if you need a book, and you need it desperately, and you can't find it, it drives you crazy. I've been scrounging around the walls, two walls of books, for 2 days looking for this book. And I know it's there, and I probably looked at it 50 times and haven't seen it. You know, do you ever have that happen when you stare, look at something and you don't see it? and it's right in front of you. You go back, and there it is. Well, I've gone back 20 times, and I still don't see it. I know when I'm least expecting it, all of a sudden it'll be right in front of me. Ah, argh.
Post and the Wall Street Journal. Well, the Post is just quoting the Journal. Not only did Israel spy on those nuclear negotiations that the U.S. has been trying to conduct with Iran, along with five other nations, but in addition to that, the government of Israel gave information to Netanyahu that they picked up on their surveillance. Now, let me just state right away, Israel spying on the U.S., U.S. spying on Israel, it makes no difference. I mean, everybody spies on everybody because nobody trusts anyone, and every single one of these nation states are nothing but warmongers anyway, the ones I'm talking about. But not only did the Israelis spy on and surveil and eavesdrop on what was going on in those meetings, but then they, Netanyahu used the information gotten from that espionage to ass-whip the Republicans into opposition to a nuclear deal that Obama and the leaders of these other nations are trying to put together. Essentially, that's what the Wall Street Journal reported today. The administration's discussions with Iran, the Obama administration's discussions, appeared to be nearing an agreement. And Israeli officials were resigned to the fact that both sides were or are about to strike what the Israelis call a bad deal. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Israel spied on the talks as part of the Netanyahu administration's campaign to publicly build a case against that deal. A senior U.S. official familiar with the details told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "It is one thing for the U.S. and Israel to spy on each other. It is another thing for Israel to steal U.S. secrets and play them back to U.S. legislators to undermine U.S. diplomacy." I mean, this is, I don't know how much longer Israel will continue to stab the United States repeatedly in the back. All you have to do is go back to the USS, the attack on the USS Liberty, where 30-some American sailors and scores of the 30-some were murdered by the Israelis. Murdered. Pure murder. This was not a wartime accident. This was not a mistake. This was murder. Nobody ever paid for that. Scores of U.S. sailors on that ship were wounded. But if you start there and work forward right up until this, spying on what the U.S. and the Iranians are talking about, which, okay, everybody spies, but then using that information to try to influence negatively the Congress of the United States. And, of course, the Congress of the United States is composed of half-wits, morons, just creepy goddamn people to begin with. So how difficult was it? Probably not very. As the Jerusalem Post says, while Israel and the U.S. are close allies, they have been known to spy on one another, the most notorious instance being the imprisonment of U.S. Navy analyst Jonathan Pollard. Pollard was, do you remember that case? Feeding information to the Israelis on not just information about the extent of the lies U.S. government was telling to our erstwhile allies or our enemies or what have you. But Pollard was giving actual military and national defense secrets to the Israelis. And there's a big effort. There has been a big effort for the past decade or longer, 20 years, to get this spy son of a bitch released from prison so he can go back to Israel. And at the time, I can remember reading in various publications that this was considered the most extensive breach of U.S. security ever. I mean, the Russians had never accomplished what Jonathan Pollard did. The Chinese never had. Nobody had. Until this Israeli spy came along and did what he did. So this is it's an ongoing thing. Israel has stabbed the United States in the back over and over and over again, continuously holding out its hand for billions of dollars in aid, foreign aid, for assistance in building their nuclear arsenal, for weaponry that would stagger the imagination. And all the while, plus every time there is a human rights violation or a charge of atrocities committed by Israel brought up in the UN Security Council, who's right there to veto it so it never, ever gets a vote with the Security Council? The United States. Every single time. There has been resolution after resolution passed with the United States not even participating. Most of those resolutions have to go through the General Assembly. Because the United States only has one vote there. But on the Security Council, there's only, what, six permanent members? Is that what it is? Over and over and over again, the United States has come to the defense of this fascist regime. No challenge. Oh, some public mouthings about, well, I don't think they ought to do that. And every single time, endlessly, Israel takes the long knife and shoves it right into the back of whomever is president. It doesn't make any difference. Democrat, Republican means nothing. And Netanyahu holds the U.S. Congress in the most utter contempt. He realizes what they are. He knows what they are. He knows they're a bunch of worthless, useless the drones that are put in place by both the religious right and corporate America. They don't have any desire to lead this country or to govern this country or to write legislation for this country. He knows that. Netanyahu's no stupid man. He knows it, just like you know it and I know it. The difference is Netanyahu is in position to work those sons of bitches like a $2 whore. Oh, excuse me. Well, it could be a male whore or a female whore, so don't give me a sexist critique there. But he does. Netanyahu works them like streetwalkers, and they are so eager, because that'll give them points with Jesus or something. I got more to say when we come back. In the Wall Street Journal, U.S. spy agencies intercepted, see, they spy on each other, communications between Israeli officials who were sharing the details that the Americans say only could have been learned from the secret negotiations with Iran. Now, so far, of course, the liars in a couple of highly placed Israeli officials are totally denying all of it, categorically, exclamation point, period, yada, yada, yada. Oh, there's one little caveat, though, in their denials. They're insisting that their efforts were aimed at the Iranians. I guess, they're gonna not listen when an American talks, right? Now, last month, the Obama administration accused Israeli officials of, quote, selective sharing of information, end quote, and, quote, cherry picking, end quote, in their public complaints over the Iran negotiations. The Obama administration would not come out at the time and say, you sons of bitches must be spying. How are you getting this information? State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki said, quote, not everything you're hearing from the Israeli government is an accurate depiction of the talks, end quote. Which is, I guess that is the kind of language you have to use when you would like to say they're a bunch of goddamn liars. She added, for that reason, classified negotiation details stay behind closed doors. Well, yeah, unless the Israelis have bugged the office or whatever they've done. Who knows? They use very sophisticated spying techniques, probably better than ours, or certainly equal to ours. Now, those comments that Jen Psaki made came from the Obama administration on the same day the New York Times ran a report alleging that that the Obama administration had warned the European negotiators in this P5 plus one not to be too open with Israel because, quote, whatever we say may be used in a selective way, end quote. And by the way, the P5 plus one is U.S., Russia, China, France, Germany, and Britain. The Wall Street Journal story laid out in detail how the espionage, the spying allegations, truths, are just the latest in a series of problems which have not only damaged the Netanyahu government's relationship with the U.S. government, but also its standing with Democrats. Like I say, the Republicans, for the most part, Republicans are swine. They couldn't care less about this. Oh, Mr. Netanyahu, may I kiss your pants cuff? Please, sir. You're going to help bring Jesus back, aren't you? A senior administration official said, without attribution, quote, people feel personally sold out. People in the Obama administration, that's where the Israelis really better be careful, because a lot of these people will not only be around for this administration, but possibly the next one as well, end quote, whatever that means. And interestingly, the Wall Street Journal also quoted an American official as saying that Israel, quote, tops the list of countries that aggressively spy on the United States, end quote. Now, an official in Netanyahu's office is quoted as saying by the Wall Street Journal, quote, these allegations are utterly false. The state of Israel does not conduct espionage against the United States or Israel's other allies. The false allegations are clearly intended to undermine the strong ties between the United States and Israel and the security and intelligence relationship we share, end quote. Oh, for Christ's sake. Really? Oh, we're supposed to just swallow that, huh? That's like the denials when Snowden's revelations were put out there. Of course, the denials were not quite like this. I mean, how are you going to deny the proof that Ed Snowden put out? How are you going to deny the truth that Chelsea Manning put out? But the Israelis can say, oh, well, there's no truth to this at all. Well, I have figured out what is the burr under Netanyahu's saddle where it concerns the United States under Barack Obama. Bibi is jealous. That's what it is. It's like Bibi is like a high school student, and he sees his adversary, Barack Obama, courting this woman named Iran. And Bibi can't stand it, because if the United States forms an agreement with Iran, in other words, if the beautiful cheerleader goes with the football captain, then what the hell is Bibi going to do? He's going to be left out in the cold. And Israel has been the favorite date of the United States for 70 years. This is jealousy. Total, purely possessive jealousy, the kind that every high school sophomore and junior, boy and girl, runs into during their high school career. That's how Netanyahu is being so motivated. We'll be right back. Yeah, high school class nerd, and to find out that the girl he thought was interested in him is really interested in the football captain, team captain, right? Now, you can change your genders around on that as much as you like. I'm just coming at it from a male standpoint because I are one. But that's Netanyahu's problem. He's just a jealous little creep. And the reason I say that is because Israel's survival is not at stake here. Israel has as many as 200 nuclear weapons. Everybody in the Middle East understands that. Everybody understands it. So any time over the past 30 years when you heard saber rattling from anybody threatening Israel, whether it was Egypt or Syria or whoever it was, you know, the Israeli government would just kind of sit back and laugh. Because everybody knows what would happen. That's another reason, it's probably not in the top five reasons, but it's another reason why there is not a concerted attack on Israel as there was back in the 67 war. Because the rest of the Middle East gets it. Israel is a nuclear-armed country that suffers from paranoid delusions to the point that it tortures the people whose land was taken by the Israelis. Now, the United States finally, I think just to a slight degree, is coming out of the ether where it concerns Israel. Because the U.S. abstained from taking the floor to defend Israel yesterday at the United Nations Human Rights Council. The UN Human Rights Council yesterday was debating human rights violations committed in the Palestinian territories. Normally, what would happen in that situation, the human rights violations against those people by the Israelis is just, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable. It's like the Warsaw Ghetto that the Jews went through, but without the cattle cars, without the death camps. But it's horrible what the Israelis continue to do. Remember what Meir Kahane wrote in his book that has become like a how-to manual for the Israeli Likud party anyway. The title of the book, They Must Go. He wasn't referring to Russians when he wrote that. But anyway, normally, when the violations, human rights violations committed by the Israelis against the Palestinians, they're the only ones against whom they commit human rights violations. And why? Because they can. Every time the issue comes up, the United States is right there at the UN to offer up arguments and caveats. And now, wait a second, you know, right before the Israelis killed 1,200 the Gazans, 600 of whom were children. Hamas launched rockets into southern Israel, and it blew up an awful lot of sand. There's always some half-assed defense of Israel put forward by the United States every single time for the past 70 years. All of a sudden, yesterday, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And as the Jerusalem Post reported, that step is unprecedented at the 47-member state forum, or 47 nations involved in this, where Washington has unfailingly defended Israel. And the decision not to appear is obviously the result of signals that the Obama administration is undertaking a reassessment of relations with the Jewish state. Little overdue, wouldn't you think? I have no axe to grind with Israel and their internal policies at all. They're committing atrocities, human rights violations, crimes against humanity, against the people who were there before they were. That's up to the international community to address. If the international community is not going to address it, well, how many times has that happened in the past all over the world? So nothing new in the crimes committed by Israel against the Palestinians. Nothing new at all. Where I have a problem, though, is the unfailing support of Israel by the United States to our detriment. To our detriment. You know, I'm reminded of the Iraq-Iran war. I first went to work at CNN when that war of attrition was going on back in the early 80s. Iraq-Iran. It was a slaughter. There were 2 or 3 million Iranians and Iraqis who were slaughtered Do you know who ginned up that war? The United States. Do you know who we supported? Saddam Hussein of Iraq. Do you know why? Because even then, the Israelis were freaking out about Iran. So, I'm sure you've seen the picture. There's, who is the Defense Department guy under Bush?
Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld standing there shaking Saddam Hussein's hand because the United States had just delivered satellite photography and spy work to Saddam about where to bomb and attack Iran. Plus, we had given the Iraqis poison gas to use against the Iranians. Stupid Saddam used it against the Kurds. And why did we support Iraq? Because of Israel. That's where I have a problem. A U.S. Spokesman in Geneva at the UN Human Rights Council yesterday told the Reuters news agency in response to a query as the debate began, quote, "The U.S. delegation will not be speaking about Palestine today," end quote. Palestine? Will not be speaking. Now, if the United States could just grow a pair, which we, I don't know, maybe someday a Democratic or a Republican president will, and rather than say we're not going to comment, say, yeah, we're going to stand up on our hind feet and point out these atrocities committed by Israel. The problem with that, of course, is that a lot of those atrocities are committed with the cooperation of the United States. Oh, and Netanyahu's allies acknowledged on Sunday that the night before the voting in Israel, when Netanyahu said there will never be a Palestinian state. Never. That means, what does that mean? Eternal occupation? Or slowly moving toward removal, genocide, pushing people out completely? He said it. Now he tried to walk it back. Oh, baloney. But that disavowal of a Palestinian state, according to Netanyahu's gang of thugs, caused a disagreement with the Obama administration. But Netanyahu's motorcycle gang blamed Obama's unprecedented criticism on a misunderstanding. Of course it was a misunderstanding. So during this discussion at the UN Human Rights Council meeting, it was the European Union, according to the Jerusalem Post, that took the floor in defense of Israel during this hearing on crimes committed against the Palestinians. It's called Agenda Item 7. And it mandates that the UN Human Rights Council discuss Israeli human rights violations during every session. That they have to. Why? Because those human rights violations are ongoing. They're never ending. They haven't stopped since 1920s, 1920s, 1930s. The European Union said that while Israel had an obligation to uphold international law, it should be treated as any other country, and any violation should be discussed. That is kind of my point. You know, as far as Israel being handed a certain little nasty swath of land by some sky spook, no, I don't buy that at all. As far as I'm concerned, Israel, I've said this before, it's like any other nation state. It's like the United States. It's like China. It's like Bolivia. There is certain international behaviors that are crimes, that are prohibited under international law. And whenever a country violates them, it should be pointed out. It should be discussed. I'd like to say they should be brought to justice, Any country, United States, will never be brought to justice, nor will Israel, nor will so many of the countries be brought to justice.
Well, have you heard anything like that on right-wing radio? Just the opposite. Hannity and all of them. Kissing the ass of Israel, kissing the ass of the Jews, 100%. Anybody that calls in, criticizes Israel on a right-wing neocon station, you Nazi, get off my station. Why in the hell are you still in the right wing? If you're still playing around with the right wing, get out now, because that's not where the answer to the problem is. That's right. That's not where the answer to the problem is. Getting more information out of this guy who doesn't really believe in racism, but he does believe in digging out the shit on these people. So you're going to get it, and I can't get it from the right wing, except a few that just yelled, white nationalism, white nationalism, white nationalism. But they don't give you any meat on what's going on today and what's going to go on tomorrow and the whole nitty-gritty. You don't get that on the right. You can't, because the boys that control the right, of course, keep it as a false flag operation. Reading from Al Jazeera, which I don't trust them either, the co-pilot of the German Wings flight that slammed into an alpine mountainside intentionally, in parentheses, sent the plane into its doomed descent, killing over 150 people on board, a French prosecutor has said. Well, they should pick up the little pieces of that pilot and put him on trial. But I'll tell you this, there's got to be something fanatical behind this. There's got to be something behind this, and they need to be going through that guy's apartment or house with a fine-tooth comb and see. And I think you're going to find out that he is, if he's white, he's a convert to the Islam or something like that. You wait and see. Marseille prosecutor Bryce Robbins said on Thursday the commander left the cockpit, presumably to go to the laboratory, and then was unable to regain access. Guy locked him out. In the meantime, he said, co-pilot Andreas Lubitz manually and intentionally set the plane on descent that drove it into the mountainside of southern French Alps. Andreas Lubitz. It's going to be interesting to find out more about this guy. It was the co-pilot's intention to destroy this plane, Robin said. The information was pulled from the black box cockpit voice recorder. And that's why also you need video cameras in these cockpits, which I don't think any of the planes do, because they could find out in no time what the cause was instead of worrying about going after the black box and scouring the whole countryside. If they had video cameras feeding back to the base or to the airfield, which is easy to do, they would have known immediately what happened. They'd have more information for you. We hear the captain then speaks via the interphone to the co-pilot. No response of the co-pilot. He taps on the door. No response of the co-pilot. All we can hear is the sound of breathing until impact, suggesting that the co-pilot was alive until impact. Interesting. The Airbus A320 on a flight from Barcelona to Dusseldorf began to descend from cruising altitude after losing radio contact with ground control. So the co-pilot must have shut the radio off, and it slammed into the mountain. German Interior Minister Thomas de Maizière said the current information suggested the co-pilot had no links to terrorism. Why would he come out right away and say that? The very fact that he comes right out and says that means they don't want to talk about it. How much time did they have to research this co-pilot? Almost none. According to the current state of knowledge and after comparing information that we have, he does not have a terrorist background, he said. What the fuck does that mean? You know, somebody could get into something and be pretty fanatical pretty simply, and then all of a sudden do something, because he could. In the German town of Montabaur, acquaintances said Libitz was in his late 20s and showed no signs of depression when they saw him last fall as he renewed his glider pilot license. He was happy he had the job with the German wings, and he was doing well, said a member of the glider club, Peter Rucker, who watched him learn to fly. He gave off a good feeling. Lubitz had obtained his glider pilot's license as a teenager and was accepted as a Lufthansa pilot trainee after finishing a tough German college preparatory school. Rucker said he described Lubitz as a rather quiet but friendly young man. Lufthansa has yet to officially identify the pilots, but said that the co-pilot joined German Wings in September 2013, directly after training, and had flown 630 hours. That's not a hell of a lot of hours. The head of Lufthansa, German Wings' parent company, said no security in the world could protect an airline from the kind of action taken by the co-pilot. Be interesting to see whether they have psychological testing for pilots on an ongoing basis. Whatever safety provisions you have in a company, however high the standard, such isolated cases cannot be completely ruled out. Well, of course not. Well, there you go. I guess we'll find out. But just think if that guy had gone to a neo-Nazi meeting, or even been in the NPD, the right-wing party there in Germany. Boy, we'd know it already. We'd know everything about him all the way back to when he was born, man. Yeah, every minute that goes by that we don't know the whole score on this guy makes you more suspicious. But that's showbiz, boys and girls, in this world, this topsy-turvy, crazy, insane world. Every hour that ticks by where the whole rundown on this co-pilot is not public knowledge makes it more suspicious. Usually when something like this happens, within 12 hours they've got the whole history of the person all over the world on news media. Or maybe he just had a fight with his wife and got pissed off. You never know. Well, some of the parents of some of these GIs that are over there in Afghanistan are getting a little squeamish. Can you believe it? They ought to be up there with pickaxes beating on the Pentagon's door, tearing the gates down, thousands of people. It's what should be going on. But Pat Alviso, the mother of a U.S. Marine who was left half deaf after 5 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. 5 tours. You realize what 5 tours in a war zone is like? Keeps close tabs on U.S. deployment overseas. A White House decision on Tuesday to slow the U.S. troop departure from Afghanistan came as no surprise. They're all war hawks. We figured that the Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, little limp-wristed freak, is going to do the same thing. The Taliban will get into power again over there. There's no doubt the Taliban will retake Afghanistan. And him being very public about wanting continued U.S. military help was a sign they'll make a deal and continue our troop presence through 2015, Alviso told Al Jazeera. We're disturbed and worried. It's like a downward spiral for us with these endless wars. Well, you've got it within your means to stop it. By hook or by crook or by violence or nonviolence. But most people just don't give a shit. You going to go over there? Oh, well, so what? In some ways, I agree with them. If the idiots are going to join up, volunteer freely, go over there, get their ass kicked, come back with arms and legs broke, cut off, can't hear, can't see, you know. What are you going to do for people like that? Oh, I was fighting for my country, babe. I left my leg in Afghanistan because I was dedicating that leg to the defense of the United States. Oh? Oh? And that's why they call me a hero. I couldn't be a hero back home pumping gas or selling drugs in the ghetto. So I said, I'll be a hero by going over there. Yeah. I don't know where my leg's at. It went flying someplace. I haven't seen it. But Wounded Heroes is sending me a box of cookies. Yeah. You know what? The thing that bugs me about all this is the poor wives and family that are back home. And these guys come back there and make virtual slaves out of their wives after being blown up and loss of limbs and everything else. And then the poor wife has to become a slave to toting these guys around and trying to put on a happy face. And of course, they got all this peer pressure from their Christian neighbors. Oh, he's a hero, man. He's a hero. Well, then why don't you come over here and wipe his ass and give him a bath like I got to do every day? I wouldn't feel upset at all when all these wives, these guys voluntarily went over there and got themselves shot up and beat up and cut up. If their wives just left them. Bullshit. You know, you don't have to pretend all your Zionist Christian friends and all that shit. Dump the son of a bitch. That's my hard-hearted position. Bad to the bone, baby. Well, the World Jewish Congress is a little bit upset. The latest tensions between Obama administration and Israel are contributing to a rise in global anti-Judaism. Not anti-Semitism, anti-Judaism. World Jewish Congress President Ronald Lauder warned Tuesday in remarks before a House committee overseeing global human rights issues. Yuck. Lauder said when people around the world see the best friend, the whore of Israel, is having problems with them, it provokes negative attitudes towards the Jews. Oh, yeah, baby. People around the world see what's going on. Only stupid U.S. Christians, Christian Zionists and so forth. Can't figure that out. How come they would be that way? Don't bother me. I'm praying for the end times and how the end of the world's coming and Jesus coming back and then all those Jews that won't accept Jesus, we're going to cut their heads off, man. Well, did you notice how quickly all the black news all of a sudden disappeared? Normally, I've got a full thing of email about poor blacks this and poor blacks that, and blacks say this, and blacks are going to do that, and blacks have been fighting all these years for their freedom, and they ain't getting it. Well, no. No, no. Immediately when any other crisis comes up, the Negroes get swept away. I would say that probably if somebody hung a Negro down south in Mississippi today, that they wouldn't even be in the news, because they're out to big things, airplanes falling from the sky and all that kind of stuff. Southern Millionaires Law Center is so damn proud of their big hate map they've been working on for a long time. Such groups included, but were not limited to, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, white nationalists, racist skinheads, Christian identity, and neo-Confederates. And black separatists, I guess. Well, you got yourself a map up there, just saying, there's 50 here and 50 there. Most of them have got enough people to have their national convention in a phone booth. And, of course, like used to be with the Nazis, the guy that had the P.O. box and the longest legs is the guy that got the money. Anyhow, they're trying to drum up more contributions to the Millionaires Society there in Montgomery by showing and reshowing these pictures of a few guys with Klan robes on and the hoods on and like that. Well, so what are you going to do about it? You see, they're out there. You say where they're at, but what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Oh, you're going to keep an eye on them. You're going to keep an eye. Morris Dees, he's going to keep an eye on these people. They can keep an eye on me all they want. They come right down the street and say, there he is. There's where that son of a bitch lives. We got to keep an eye on him. That gives me an alibi. That's okay. Let's see what old populist Jim Hightower's got to say today.
Shouldn't America have at least one major party that is not beholden to the corporate elite? Well, look here. Just such a party has popped up, raring to roar into the 2016 presidential race. Called the KB Party, it has the funding and political punch to bypass the establishment's control of the election system. But don't rush to sign up. KB stands for Koch Brothers. Yes, Charlie and David, the multi-billionaire right-wing industrial barons who already own several Congress critters, governors, think tanks, astroturf campaign machines, front groups, etc., now have their very own private political party. And it's not beholden to the corporate elite, since it is the elite. The Koch boys have rallied roughly 300 like-minded opponents of democracy to their brotherhood of plutocrats, intent on purchasing a president and Congress that will impose their vision of corporate rule over America. At a secretive retreat in January for KB party funders, the 300 barons ponied up $900 million for their campaign. That's nearly $200 million more than the combined expenditures of the Republican and Democratic parties in last year's elections. And it's way more than either of those parties will have for 2016. This means that, in our nation of 350 million people, a cabal of only 300 of the wealthiest will have the wherewithal to narrow the choice of candidates presented to the rest of us, restrict the range of policy ideas that are proposed to voters, imbue the overall campaign with a negative tone, and, most important, shape the governing agenda of those who get elected. This is Jim Hightower saying, the Supreme Court's disastrous Citizens United edict created this mess. To help ban the corporate cash that's clogging our elections and killing our people's democratic rights, go to democracyisforpeople.org.
Thanks, Jimmy, but keep your powder dry, because I think it's going to take more than talking. Oh, what did I say, man? I'm going to have agents at my door if I don't watch out. I don't know whether you've heard the report from this jerk that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth that led all that anti-black stuff on the bus out there at the University of Oklahoma. And as usual, they collapse and back down and the whole bit. They go so far the other way, it's unbelievable. A former University of Oklahoma fraternity member caught on camera leading a racist chant. Oh, my God! Said Wednesday's deeply sorry for his role in the incident and upset and embarrassed that he failed to stop it. I think I heard a recording of what he said last night. I may have it someplace. It's enough to gag a maggot. Flanked by several black Oklahoma City community leaders, you know what that means, including pastors who have, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't have any say-so whatsoever except for their own opinion. Leaders? Bullshit. No preacher should be a leader or accepted. The civil rights activist, Levi Petit, publicly apologized following a meeting he had with civic leaders, a bunch of niggers at a Baptist church on the city's predominantly black northeast side. He's going to get himself out of there. He's a typical elitist type kid. Quote, some have wondered why I haven't spoken out publicly. The truth is I've had a mix of pain, shame, sorrow, and fear over the consequences of my actions, said Petit, whose voice quivered slightly as he spoke. Quote, I do not want to apologize to the press or to the whole country until I first came to apologize to those most immediately affected. Oh, Jesus. Petit, who is from Dallas area, and several other members, that's those Texans. Most of them you can't trust as far as you can throw. They talk a big line. They talk a good line. The ones I met in the Army didn't get me too excited. They wore big bell buckles, that was about it. And several other members of Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity at the university were caught on video engaging in a chant that referenced lynching and using a racial slur. They used the word "nagger" to describe how African Americans would never become members. Petit answered a few questions from the reporters, but declined to say who taught him the chant or where he learned it. Well, he probably learned it sitting on his daddy's knee. Quote, "The truth is, what's said in that chant is disgusting. And after meeting with these people, I've learned these words should never, ever, ever be repeated," Petit said. Pettit, whatever his name is. State Senator Anastasia Pittman, the chair of the Oklahoma's Legislative Black Caucus, continued, coordinated Wednesday's meeting after Petit reached out to her. "Get the niggers off me. I'll say anything." Pittman, Democratic Oklahoma City, said she believed Petit's apology is genuine and she has forgiven him, especially after he promised to give the niggers a bunch of money. State Senator Anastasia Pittman, the chair of Oklahoma's Black... Wait a minute. I admire his courage for reaching out to me and getting down on his hands and knees and saying, "I'm sorry, Miss Black Person. I wants to meet you face to face and apologize to you directly," Pittman said. "I believe he is sincere," she said. Petit said he also met Tuesday with the leaders of OU's football team, who he said accepted his apologies. He got down on his knees to those nigger football people. Oh, jeez. It'd have been better if the blacks would have ganged up and lynched him. Petit's parents issued an apology on his behalf 2 weeks ago, after the video's release caused an uproar, a big uproar. Of course, the press made it a big uproar. Nationwide, worldwide, white man says something about Negroes, which is located about 20 miles south of Oklahoma City. A second student from the Dallas area, Parker Rice, also issued a statement apologizing for his role in the chant. White men ain't worth a shit anymore. If you can't take it, don't say it. OU President David Boren, that name sounds familiar to me. I think I've run into him somewhere. Severed ties with the fraternity, ordered its members to vacate the fraternity house, expelled two students for leading the chant. Well, they need to be killed. That's all there is to it. Hang them from a tree. When are white people going to learn that you have to be into negrophilia? It's a law, you must love negros. The university also launched an investigation into the role of other fraternity members that may have had in the chant. We're looking for more of them. And Boron says further disciplinary action is possible. Stephen Jones, an attorney for the now disbanded local fraternity, says Wednesday that an agreement already has been reached with the university that calls for no members of the fraternity to be expelled. Well, as long as you say, "I'm sorry," and kiss my ass, you can come back on here and learn nothing. Jones declined to comment further about the details of the agreement, and a spokesman for Boren would not confirm it. But the niggers are still unhappy. They haven't figured a way of milking this for more money yet. In an email to the Associated Press, Boren's press secretary, Corbin Wallace, said Boren would announce the results of the university's investigation during a news conference on Friday. Jones, who was hired by alumni of the local fraternity chapter, said that both the young man who Boren ordered expelled actually withdrew from the university first. A spokesman for the university would not confirm that, citing student privacy. Well, they sure weren't very private after they said those nasty things. The National Sigma Alpha Epsilon Fraternity, I think all these fraternities suck. They're elitist in the whole bit. Who needs them? Also disbanded its OU chapter and announced it is taking steps to become more inclusive, including requiring all its members nationwide to go through diversity training and setting up a confidential hotline for people to report inappropriate behavior. Snitch on your buddies. Snitch. Oh, God. White people have sunk so low that they don't deserve it. They don't deserve anything.
First impression.
Start by saying that I'm sorry. Deeply sorry. I'm so sorry for all the pain that I've caused, and I want you all to know that directly from me. Although I don't deserve it, I want to ask for your forgiveness. There are no excuses for my behavior. I never thought of myself as a racist. I never considered it a possibility.
But you are a racist, boy.
But the bottom line is that the words that were said in that chant were mean, hateful, and racist.
And you can have all my money.
I will be deeply sorry and deeply ashamed of what I've done for the rest of my life.
For the rest of his life.
Some have wondered why I haven't spoken out publicly.
Yeah.
The truth is I've had a mix of pain, shame, sorrow, and fear over the consequences of my actions.
Oh, poor boy.
I did not want to apologize to the press or to the whole country first until I came here to apologize to the community most directly impacted.
Now, let me get down on my knees here with all these niggas around
me. I decided it would be
me.
Best and wait until the student leaders that we got the opportunity to meet with today were back from spring break. Over the past week or so, I've met with a number of pastors and leaders in the community to seek understanding of the meaning behind the words that I spoke on that bus. Meeting with a few people does not change what I did, but it has begun to change me in my understanding of those hateful words.
Yeah, right.
With no question, my words on that bus were disgusting, and these words should never be repeated under any circumstance.
Oh, never, never, never.
I think I knew they were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I never knew how
but
or
I
why
was
they were
drunk,
wrong.
Man.
And the people that I've met with, like Senator Pittman and all these leaders behind me, have opened my eyes to really put meaning behind those words.
If
and the
I
impact
don't say this shit, they're going to knife me.
When those words are said.
Oh, well, jeez. Whoa, baby. There you go. He's going to feel sorry for the rest of his life for singing that little dee-doo song. He was surrounded by niggers there. He was afraid to say anything else. They all had a switchblade in their pocket. At least he could have taken one for the Gipper. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I sent out the appeal, and we got one of the greatest guys in this country come down here to my studio to refute everything that young whippersnapper said. I'm not going to tell you his name, but he's a world-renowned guy, man, and so here he goes to tell you about it.
Here and now. It may be hot tonight, but it's going to get hotter for a whole lot of people. This here little town's going to burn. What I mean, it's going to burn the conscience of the country and put forth a light that everyone and everybody's going to see and feel. This town I'm talking about. Caxton! Yeah! People, something happened today. 10 Negroes went into the Caxton High School and sat with the white children there. Nobody stopped them. Nobody turned them out. And you know what they're saying? That means they're saying that you all don't give a darn whether the whites mix with the blacks because you didn't fight against it. Well, I say, how can somebody fight what he doesn't see? They've kept the facts away from you. They've cheated and deceived every one of you. They've filled your heads with filthy lies and kept you in the dark so that when you finally do wake up, why, we're sorry, but it's just too late. All right. become associated with the Patrick Henry Society, which is an organization dedicated to giving the people the truth. What I'm going to tell you is going to make your blood boil. Because I'm going to show you that the way this country is going to go depends entirely and wholly and completely on you. Now, you all know that there was peace and quiet in the South before the NAACP started stirring up trouble. But what you don't know is that this so-called advancement of colored people is now and has always been nothing but a communist front headed by a Jew who hates America and doesn't make any bones about it either. Well, the commies didn't waste a second. They knew only too well, friends, that the quickest way to cripple a country is to mongrelize it. So they poured all the millions of dollars the Jews could get for them into this one thing, desegregation. They went to the courts. Now, Judge Silver, who is a Jew and is known to have leftist leanings.
Who says so?
The record says so. Look it up. Abraham Silver, for one thing, belongs to the Quill and Pen Society, which receives its funds indirectly from Moscow. So what did the judge do? Went right ahead and ordered integration for the Caxton High School. Your mayor and the governor could have stopped it, but they didn't have the guts. All right. Now, you may think the problem is simply whether we're going to allow 10 Negroes to go to our schools. That's only a small part. I'm in a position to know because the Patrick Henry Society has studied the whole thing. The real problem, whether you like it or not, is whether you're going to sit back and let desegregation spread throughout the entire South. And it's an indisputable fact that there could be no other result. The Negroes will literally, and I do mean literally, control the South. The vote will be theirs. You'll have black mayors and black policemen the way they do in Chicago and New York already. Like there's not a black governor and black doctors to deliver your babies. If they find time, that is. And that's the way it'll be. Did you ever stop to think about that? When you let those 10 enter your school, did you?
Government! Yeah.
Now, let me ask you. Do you people want niggers taken over?
No!
And are you willing to fight this thing down to the last ditch and keep fighting until it's over? Then I'm willing to fight with you.
Why, Mr. Kramer?
Why? Because I'm an American, sir, and I love my country. And I'm willing to give my life, if that be necessary, to see that my country stays free, white, and American!
Boy, I got so excited I forgot which button to push there. But I want to thank him. Thank you for coming all the way out here from Hollywood, this secret guest of mine. On his own, spent his own money for the airplane ticket to come out here and refute this youngster from Oklahoma to say what it really is. Yeah. You got it right there. In no uncertain words. If you don't do it now, it exactly has played out the way he said. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow on Friday, Freya's day. Got to get out of here and get this guy back on a plane to Hollywood. He's got to do something about spaceships. I don't know. We'll see.